Good morning. The talk I'll be reading today was published in Satsang Desh in February of 1976. This birthday message was given by Master at the Friends Meeting House in Washington, D.C. on January 25th, 1964. And last night I learned that that was one of the 12 Days of Wonder. A birthday celebration had been arranged for this date since Master was soon returning to India. This love-filled celebration was the only one ever held for him in the West at which he was physically present. And the title is Love is the Way. We are all children of light. I was wondering how I should address you because I see you in me and I in you. I think the best way I can address you is as my friends. I have not made you slaves, but equals, because only an equal man can recognize what he is. Those under him cannot know him from that status. You are all my friends. I have love and regard for you. Ever since I came in contact with you physically in 1955, although physically I was in India, I have been carrying your sweet remembrance with me all along. During the day, I was very much burdened with the work over there, but at night, I was all along with you, replying to your letters. During the day, I was there. At night, I was with you. Though physically, I was bound there, in my mind and spirit, you were with me all along. That I can assure you. Even hereafter, the God in me will be with you, guiding you and helping you in all your affairs. It is through the grace of my master, Baba Sawan Singh Ji, that this is being extended to you, that it was extended to you in the past, and that it will continue to be hereafter too. You are all dear to me. Whether you are in the East or the West makes no difference to me. Outer forms make no difference. I see you from the level of the man body or at the level of embodied souls. You are children of light. This present tour has been taken as the extension of what my master wanted of me. He impressed on me to have a common ground for all men, irrespective of whether they belong to one religion or the other. They are all the same as man. And further, they are embodied souls. He wanted me to have a common ground for all, where men belonging to all religions of the East or West could sit together on the same earth and under the same canopy of heaven. So it is with His grace that this present renovation, you might say, or revival of the old truths taught by all rishis and masters is being given out. In the Vedas, the Atharva Veda, the Rig Veda, it is said, thousands of you sit all together, pray to God. We have joined various religions, which are our schools of thought, and we have joined them to know God. These religions are our recruiting centers from which we have to join the army of God. We have to become the true Khalsas in the terminology of the 10th Guru of the Sikhs. Zoroaster was asked, we are to join the army of God. What is required to do that? What is the qualification? He never mentioned any one religion or the other. Masters always look to all mankind from the level of the man body, from the universal level. They consider all humanity to be their family. This is the level from which all masters who came in the past gave out their teachings. They laid before us the way to come up to that level. These schools of thought that are called religions which we have joined and whose outer forms we took as badges were means to the end to free our souls and unite them with God. They were meant for our freedom, but those very religions have become the chains and fetters to bind us. That was never the purpose of joining any school or religion. So what is required, the people asked Zoroaster, for joining the army of God? He said righteousness. And what is righteousness? Good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. This is what all other masters said. Guru Nanak said the same thing. Truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. While you are here on this common ground of spirituality, you forget your outer levels of living. This is the first quality you acquire when you come to some master. You lose all otherness. You see all mankind as one. You see the same soul in everyone, the soul which is the drop of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all children of light. Naturally, what lies before us is to love God. We love God, and that very God resides in every heart. Since our souls are of the same essence as that of God, naturally we love all. To love all is the main thing, because God is love. God is light, and we are also children of light. God is life, and we are all conscious beings. God is love, and we are also love. So the way back to God is also love. This is the main lesson that we learn at the feet of the masters. It prepares the way to God. All our outer rituals, rites, saying of prayers, and reading of scriptures are meant to develop that love and devotion in us. Blessed is the society or the school of thought to which we belong, in which we develop this very precious jewel of love. What is required, as I told you, is righteousness. And righteousness means good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. It further enjoins us naturally to live a life of continence, of control over our senses. So many senses are dragging us through our outgoing faculties to all the world over. If you would like to control one passion, you must have control over all outgoing faculties. If you control one organ of sense and let the others run loose, it is just like putting your hand into fire and expecting that it will not burn. This is what is required. Control over the senses. The attention, which is the outcome of our souls or expression of our souls, is diffused into the world through the senses and sense organs. We know now how to know God by simple ways. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the intellect, or by the vital airs. It is the soul alone that can know God. Like alone can know the like. So the outward expression of soul is attention, which is diffused into the outside world. It is to be collected, you might say. The rays of attention are to be brought back to their source, our soul, which is at the back of the eyes. That is the first thing to be done. You are not to touch the pranas or to have recourse to any physical exercises or to engage in intellectual wrestling to come to some conclusion. This is because it is the attention, or the expression of soul, that gives life to the intellect, to the mind, and to the outgoing faculties. The way of the masters is purely withdrawing the attention from outside, entering this laboratory of the man body, and leaving these organs of sense. Retrace all the rays of the attention back to their source, the soul at the back of the eyes. When you come there, you will find God already there. This is a natural way. This is called the Surat Shabd Yoga, Surat Yoga, or you might call it the Path Divine. This is the easiest way. Even children see light, if a little attention for withdrawal is given. This is the natural way, which all masters gave to children, to the old, to the learned, and to the unlearned. When the masters came, what did they tell us? They said, love is the way back to God. God is love, and our souls are also love. And it is through love alone that we can know God. Love knows true renunciation, service, and sacrifice. For whom? Not for the self, but for the good of others without any consideration. All masters say that love is the way back to God. Read any scripture. And there we are wanting. We are very intellectual. We are very wise in all other affairs, but we are wanting in love. Love is not grown in any field. It cannot be bought at any shop. It is already within you, ingrained within you. It is innate. That love has simply been misfit. Where does that misfit love take us? To the body, to the enjoyment of the senses, and to the attachments of the outside world? The result is, where do we go? Where we are attached. So this love which is misdirected is called love. But if you look to its reality, you will find it is God in itself. Because God is love, and our soul is love. When love is withdrawn from outside and we come within, we come in contact with all love. This is what is required. Christ said, "Those who do not understand love cannot understand God. Those who do not know love cannot know God." The 10th guru of the Sikhs also gave us the same thing. "Hear ye all, irrespective of whether you belong to the East or the West, to one country or the other, or to one religion or the other, I tell you the truth, God is had only through love." But we have not understood the true meaning of love. We take it to be the enjoyment of the senses with the body and outside things. That is not true love. Mind that. Love is a gift from God to man. Love seeks union with the beloved. First there is yearning, there is pining. You want to see him, to be near him. What is love? What is the result of love? When love is there, whatever, for whomever, you are always, constantly in sweet remembrance of him. That is the outward token of love. First, you would like to be near him. Then, you would not like to disobey any order he gives. As Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said further, "I give you a new commandment, love one another." We say we love God, but we do not love one another. Why? All masters say, "Love God, love thy neighbor, and love all creation." If we love God and do not love our brothers, then what does the Bible say? You are a liar. Do you see? If you do not love your brother whom you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? So love, ultimately, after yearning, wants to be near him, to obey him, and then obedience will result in surrender. Obedience seeks the pleasure of the beloved. Why do you want to be obedient? You want to seek the pleasure of the beloved whom you love. One who loves is a lover of the beloved, and one who obeys is the beloved of the beloved. If you love your master, master loves you. Those who are more obedient, who love him, and never transcend any of his injunctions, become the most beloved of him. It was by the grace of my master that I used to go to him twice a week, sometimes weekly, the maximum number of times I could. Sometimes it happened that I could not go, and he would send someone to go and find out why I did not come. It also happened that he took the car and drove to Lahore about 40 miles, and he went and stood under my office and sent a man up to call me down. Do you see? If you love the master loves you the most. You become the beloved of the beloved. We have not ever thought of the value of love. We say we are lovers of the masters. Then why is there so much discord and disunion? When two men love the same thing, there should only be competition of this kind. If one man puts in 6 hours of meditation, you put in 7 hours. If one man serves selflessly, you do more serve, even more service than that. If one man puts one shoulder to the wheel, you put your two shoulders to the wheel. This is what he really means by love. About love, I say, one who loves is the lover of the beloved, and one who obeys becomes the beloved of the beloved. Who is greater? You will find that for one who surrenders, nothing has any existence other than the beloved. Surrender is above obedience. Obedience is sometimes practiced in a willy-nilly way, but surrender means giving up everything for the beloved. You have nothing else except the beloved. So greater than love is obedience. Mind that. Greater than love is obedience. And all these can be summed up in love divine. This is perhaps the only lesson or injunction or counsel I can give you to make you successful in all ways of life, especially in your spiritual life. Because you abide in the one you love. Christ said, "Let my words abide in you and you abide in me." How can you abide in him? First by obedience and second by surrender. As you think, so you become. The fifth guru of the Sikhs tells us that if the disciples remember the master, what does the master do? Whom does he remember? His loving souls. Never for a moment think that the God in the master forgets you. For instance, I told you at the commencement of my talk that when I was in India, I was there with you at night. When I am here, I am there at night. Do you see? That is God in me, not the Son of Man. Godhood is the birthright of every man. Fortunately, we have that birthright. It is the grace of God. And the grace of God has further descended in that we have some desire, some yearning for God. It is to achieve him, to find him, that we have cared to join any school of thought or religion. It is possible through love alone to become God, I would say. The lover and the beloved both become one. Christ said, "I and my Father are one." And St. Paul said, "It is I, not now I, but it is Christ that lives in me." This is what is meant by the word Guru Mukh. Master is God in man, and the lover of the master becomes a Guru Mukh. He becomes the Guru, a God-man in man. This is the ultimate feat of love, and this is the easiest way. But we have not seen God. How can we love? We can only love one whom we have seen, who is at the same level at which we are working. The Mohammedan scriptures tell us, each man must have some beloved. What sort of beloved? Not one that leaves you, but is ever with you. One who does not leave you in this life and in the life hereafter. And who can he be? It is the God in him. Christ gave an example to show this. So long as the branches are embedded in the fruit-growing tree, they give fruit. But when they are cut off, they cannot give fruit. Then he said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. So long as you remain embedded in me, you will bear forth ample fruit." Do you see? This is what is meant by love. Hafiz, a great saint, tells us, "O God, people call me Hafiz, but I am no longer Hafiz. I am he who lives in me." So for men, God becomes man and has love for his beings. In that man who has become one with God, God becomes man. God in man and man in God. This is the word I have given in this message too. And who was he? My master. I saw him. He was man in God. To love master is to love God, the God in him, not the Son of Man. Mind that. There is no sadhana greater than love. All outer performances, rites and rituals, and the sayings of prayers are only meant for love. If you have developed love, everything is there. There is no higher law than love, and there is no goal beyond love, because love is God, and God is love. In this way, God and love are identical, for the one who has divine love has reached God. He is one with him. That is why I said here that what the masters taught in their lives is a religion above all religions. They gave out that very love. No amount of intellect can fathom God. No amount of austerity can enable you to attain God. Only when one loves him and loses oneself in him can one find him. It is only by the feet of love that you can lose yourself when the two become one. And there are no other means, there is no other way back to God except through love. The question was put to St. John, what is the remedy for all our ills? He said, love and all things shall be added unto you. And a Mohammedan saint tells us, whoever has no love is a dead body. Love, even on the level of man, revives a man. When you are in a loving mood, your face freshens, is it not so? And when you are wanting love, you have a sad, pensive, long face. If even in outer ways you find these things to be so, then how will it be when that love overflows your soul? We go to a master because he is overflowing with love for all. When you go near him, your love is flared up. The love that starts in the flesh and ends in the flesh is no love. That is passion. The love that starts from the flesh and dissolves in the soul, that is true love. That makes two into one. Love burns the lover, and devotion burns the beloved. He has to take care of everything for you when you are devoted. Love seeks happiness for the beloved, not for the self, mind that. We sometimes love in a businesslike way. Love knows giving. Devotion seeks blessings from the beloved. His kind look is all he wants, nothing more. He is not showy. He sees the heart in you. That power which is working at that human pole is residing in you. He sees all hearts, also the heart within you. So love seeks to shoulder the burden of the beloved. He wants to shoulder whatever the beloved has taken up and help him with that. And what do? We show more and do little. Devotion throws the burden on the beloved, mind that. Once my son was dangerously sick, the doctor advised me, he will pass in a day or two. Take 2 or 3 days leave and sit by him for any moment he may pass on. It so happened that within those 3 days, there was a day on which I had to go to attend to a satsang about 27 or 28 miles away. I thought, well, the doctor has said he will die. What should I do now? All right, I thought, life and death are not in my own hands. They are in the hands of the master and is left up to him. I went to the satsang, and when it was over, it was about 11. Then as master lived near that place, about 20 miles away, I thought, let me have it. I went there and reached there about 2 during the day. The master was upstairs. He sent a man at once, call him up. I went up. He was lying in his bed. I bowed down and sat down. He sat up in his bed. How is your son? Then I had to tell him he was sick, and he was very sad and pensive. I told him, master, whoever thinks of you becomes jolly. What has made you so sad? Because you have thrown the burden on me. Do you see? The master's job is very hard. So devotion seeks blessings from the beloved, but love seeks to shoulder the burden of the beloved. And devotion throws the burden on the beloved. Love gives. Love does not require the presence of the beloved, mind that, in order to love. One who loves, he loves, that's all. He is never alone. A lover is never alone, mind that. He may be in the wilderness. He keeps sweet love for the pure. He resides in him. The beloved resides in him. They are one, whether they are near or far. So devotion asks, and love is silent and sublime, devoid of outward expression. Such is the ideal of love. This is what Master always referred to as love love, love, and love. Love has great blessings. Devotion expresses itself in outward things, but devotion demands the presence of the beloved to express affection to the beloved. Then what is greater? Love and surrender. This is the message that has been given by all masters whenever they came. I am giving you no new thing on this birthday, which you're going to celebrate. The true celebration of the birthday will lie in the fact that if you live, you have love. Have a life of love. Love and all things shall be added unto you. To my mind, I don't feel joy for the day I was born. I will feel joy only if the purpose for which I am meant is completed. Then I will feel joy. I quite appreciate that you have expressed all your love. Devotion or surrender, you may decide among these in your own hearts. I want you to love. That will give you physical health, moral health, and spiritual health. That is the only way back to God. Physically, it is not possible to be everywhere, but the God in man, God in him, is everywhere. That can materialize everywhere. When you rise above body consciousness, there also you can contact him and talk with him face to face. By God's grace working through my master, you are all of you having some experience to start with, the very first day of initiation. Truly speaking, you are all on probation, but not on such a probation from which you can be discharged, mind that. In the outer world, any service on probation is subject to discharge if the work is not satisfactory. But this is a probation from which you cannot be discharged. But truly, you become a follower when you meet the Master within and talk to him face to face. He is ever with you, and you are ever with him. I wish you all to progress on the way, to be regular in your practices, and to lead a life of love. Love does not even dream of harming anyone. If you want to know God and you do not love the God in men, if you harm those where God resides, how can you expect to know God? This is what is wanted. As I told you, love is the innate quality of the soul. Love knows no duality, oneness. I think that is why they say God is love and love is God. I wish you to progress spiritually. Physically, I have not been here for so many years, of course. But as I told you, I was with you all along in thoughts. You know this is God's grace, and with the grace of my Master through whom he works, you will remain in my mind, so long as he wishes me to continue in this physical body. I think the best way of celebrating this physical birthday is to live up to what Master says, that's all. And I don't want anything from you except love. You will be truly nonviolent. You will be truly truth-speaking, truly truthful. You will become truly chaste because your love will go into the soul and not remain in the body. And you will have love for all. Love knows service and sacrifice. Love knows service and sacrifice. When you know love, you will give, give, and give with no compensation. If need be, you will have to sacrifice yourself for the good of others. If love always knows the betterment of the good of others, not of one's own good, then you will have to sacrifice your everything for the sake of others. If you but learn this very lesson, I think there will be peace in the world. Peace all around. The kingdom of God will come on earth. If we look after the good of others, everyone will attain good. If we care to feed others, all will be fed. If we care to clothe others, all will be clothed. This is what we have to learn. Love knows this. Love knows giving, service, and sacrifice with no compensation. On this day, I am giving you the best of all I think I have come to know, and that is love. You must become conscious of yourself. God is light and consciousness. That consciousness is now enveloped by matter. You are not matter. You are sparks of light. Be one with the great conflagration of life, of light. And I'm almost out of time, but I do want to read you the very ending of talk. I think this is the sum of what I can give you. If you keep to it, God will help you, whether I am here or not. The God in me with the Master's grace will help you. Love knows no showing. He feels it at heart. He gave me one or two things. Once he gave me a very big carpet. He gave me something to wear. He also gave me an overcoat. I'm keeping them for worship, you see. Whom you love his things, mind that. I was thrilled when I came to know this is Master's. And Master is referring to a carpet next to him. Just before Master began his talk, it was announced that the carpet on which he was sitting had been used by his Master. Upon hearing this, Master pulled the carpet from underneath him and gathering it together, put it on top of his head. He then put the carpet next to him where it remained throughout his talk. And at this point in the talk, there was a very long pause while Master cannot speak because of tears. Love and all things shall be added unto you. That's all right. Have respect from the heart. It is not a matter of show. The more you live a righteous life and practice true living, the more you live up to what you are told to do, that eases my burden. My burden. You helped me. That's all I can say. And this was once again published in the Satsandash from February of 76, but it was one of those talks from the 12 Wonders, 12 Days of Wonder from January 25th, 64. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. The recording that's about to be played is from the same time period. This is from January 20th, 1964, one of the 12 Days of Wonder mentioned in the video last evening. It is one of the heart-to-heart talks given by Master in Mr. Khanna's house in Washington, D.C. after leaving Panama. He was given the name Separation. It starts with the last 30 seconds of a bhajan sung by Taiji that was written by Master for his Master, Baba Sawan Singh Ji.
याद करना संभाल करना याद करना संभाल करना हमें समझना न तुम गाना
The hymn just now read out is a prayer from the disciple to his master. He said, it is you who has lacerated my mind, my heart. There is no other remedy other than your own self. Remedy of this heart only lies in your hand. No other doctor can heal it up. You are going away, but don't forget us. Well, Master does not forget, that's right. But still, out of the English heart, you think, comes out the words of the disciple. Therefore, God said, don't forget us. We cannot forget you, but you also don't forget. We are, after all, your own, you see. Do you forget us? Who will? What will be our own remedy, I said. So, your heart is waiting for that glimpse of the Master, you see. What remedy can there be for that? Nothing else, no words, consolation will help you. Once it so happens, we tell you our teacher that the vanishing gopis, you see, they are very much in love with the Lord Krishna. So he remained away for some time, you say, about 6 or 8 months or so. So they could not reach him. And they were crying like, you see, separation is very bad thing. Two times are very difficult. For a man who has love in his heart, not love in his heart for someone. One the time which is just past in a waiting. And the other time when he leaves, he says, both times are very hard times. So, Lord Jesus sent one Pudo, messenger, to go and console them. Console them, look, your God is everywhere, Master is everywhere. In your heart of hearts, in the very controlling power in your own self, in the body, why are you worried? In the soul of your soul, this and that, and many things. He went deep into all those, to the best he could, you see. With all that, they heard very calmly, and last of all, told him, oh, who know, what you say is all right. But tell us, the eyes which are yearning to see the, that dwelling form of the Master, what is the remedy we do for that? So this is a prayer from the disciples to the Master that don't call it. And generally you find usually it's a matter of faith with Master now for blessing them. He says, well, I had only one heart, that you have taken possession of that now. But we can think of no other than you yourself. Well, my heart can be 10, 20. Then you can devote one thing and then there, then there. You know. It's only one heart. Well, it is the throne of God. Don't let anybody sit on that except God. Mm-hmm. What we do, we just let every worldly truth sit on there and dethrone God. Master says, even what they say, the Master loves his living mostly. The disciples should have him back. Well, if he can, Mother forget his children, what to do? You might be working everywhere, anywhere, you think, we're eating everywhere, child is lying in his room. But if there is a connection, little children, child moves, yeah, then so when we can to be fit, come from the flesh. If that little child, if she at once runs, then it means everything, maybe most valuable. Similarly, you know, we are all children of God. God is man, we need and not self-destruct. What is the yearning of the heart, you see, his disciples must pray like that. Well, don't forget us. Even if you go away, we are yours after all. But I tell you, if the mother first who loves us, the child, child's love is only reciprocal. The love that the Master has for the children, for the disciple, for the children, he looks on the level of God in him. He loves the disciples. And hundreds of others won't love it, but he loves this soul, the remnant of the soul, with no consideration, no recompense, nothing like that. Mother may be the only children, you see, with the old ones, they'll grow up, they'll help us, this and that, through the role play, they'll become our stake. But Master doesn't do it. She simply sees us, say, they all, the souls are like, God in him thinks that he is my children. The more we have that yearning like that, you see, the more our mind is cleaned of all the grass of the world, wiped away with the tears which roll down from their eyes. That's what. With that, what only this grass of the fields of when he was past, when he watched it. Well, our room says that one place. If you want to go to the place of pilgrimage, Mecca. So there are two ways from India, you see. One is through the sea, nearer on the land. But the way on the land is very sandy, you see. There is lots of water. There are no communication to the deserts of Arabia. So it's very hard to reach the place of pilgrimage if you go on foot. Or even on horse, you see. Because in the sense, no cars and no people. And then way through the sea. And that takes you quicker there in Chile. So he says, look here, if you want to have a pilgrimage of God, well, come through the waters of tears, you'll go quicker rather than you go through land of times. What is that meant by that? Any prayers, any rites or rituals performed, the reading of scriptures, with dry hearts, like gymnastic, mechanical, that won't financially be audible. Just you read scriptures, your heart should be full, and that heart should overflow to life. There was one Pandit, you see, he was relating the story of the Rama. When there was one illiterate man with him, he was sitting, he was reading out in Sanskrit language, and he was shedding tears like that. The thought, perhaps he has followed me very well, you see. When the talk was over, he called him and looked like, you understood my talk, someone very well. I have not followed the word of you. Why were you crying and weeping? Then I had the tune of Lord Rama before me. My heart was full and shedding tears. Ah, I would repeat. I never had a word of forgiveness. So, this heart of love, you see, this is the foreshadow of the coming things. When rain comes, there are clouds from the rain. When there are blossoms in the trees, fruit going to eat their hope of fruit. Similarly, the heart which is full of anguish, if we journey, overflowing with tears from the eye, such a one is the heart completely. And you see, sometimes we never remember of this. Days and days pass away. We never think of that. By keeping diary, there is one thing very important, as we have not seen all aspects of it. That one day you are remembering the Lord, you see. Although you won't remember it, at least at night you remember what I will do, and I have to send it. Diary. Isn't that a great message? You never realize it. Those are the things that come here. And all the time you say, my God, I have to not to do this, not to call it. It's not a matter. God has been. Such a hard thing. Because if it is to receive it, the people have to make it enough. And that is a prayer like that, you have it. Full of battles, you have been yearning, you see. Oh, Master, we are going, but don't forget us. We cannot remember you unless you remember us. That's our love is reciprocal, and I told you. And when you sit together, two men sit together, two disciples of your master, naturally, remember us of your master. That is the first thing. When you are asked to just don't miss attending the group meeting, then you sit together, you think of the master. One says, after all, is well, and this is like that. That way, the remembrance is revived. It's another thing when you have to. That is why Christ said, when it's more than one man sits in my name, I am there. And moreover, you do it for the second. So God, the human master, initiates anybody, he delights with him very time. Well, you had better. And never leave them. One lesson patient with them, faithful to the death of God. And that is what we call God, Father, and the Son of Christ, Father. Precisely that attitude makes us fit. Such like time spent when it comes to history, you have responsibility. So these are some of the poems which I gave him when I was away from my master. The state of mind is impenetrable, especially emotions. It has not been given to words to express the feelings of your heart, you see. Generally, of your
heart. What
is it? Such like attitude radiates in the atmosphere. It will go to cleanse all the foreign, external thoughts for any time being. It is just like, you think, ego, when it comes in, no smell is there. But when the ego of love comes in, you think, no touch of where I stand. All masters say, well, look here, the heart is in the moon of you, like a sacred touch. Don't misappropriate it. It's meant for God, and that only God is on that from the nobility. Besides my prayers, you know, these things are only come out when you take a place when you have better from your heart. Only such like prayers help. Sometimes you go to some model, I mean some specimens of prayers and you by masters. That is only such like words and then you give out. We come up with very hard, professors come very hard. Only botanicals repeating something that can be perfect. If you love anything, you abide in your heart, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. How can you abide in it when you remember? The more you know, the more easily achieve it. And what does it cost? Anything? And time flies away like anything. By the time of preparation for your master, at least, from transformation, my strength was, you know, and these things came out of my heart. Heart is only one, that's two or three, how many you got? Once. Yeah. You want heart, you say, when you give heart, what it means? When the heart goes, everything goes, you see. Body and soul both. This is what is meant by surrender and unity. Simply in an intellectual way, in a philosophical way, in a thinking, this and all that. If the learned man comes to know a little iota of what madness we've got here in the Lord, they'll forget everything and they'll dance like this. Okay. It's hard in the mode of the Lord, yes. Even when we say prayers, we think too unworldly. I should not believe you know us, that is why. In few words, man is the highest in all creation. And the highest thing that is before us in the man body, as given out by all masters who came in the past, is to know God. Know God, we must know ourselves first. God cannot be known by the open faculties, not intellect, not right, by rightly us. But it is soul alone that can know wrong. But our soul is under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of outgoing faculties. Our attention, which is the expression of our soul, is diffused into the world through the outgoing faculties and identified with them so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. And I told you, it is the soul alone that can know God. Like knows the like. Soul is conscious entity. God is all consciousness. The first thing is that we should know ourselves. All masters, whenever they came out the same thing, know thyself. How can we know ourselves? By liberating ourselves from the clutches of mind and outgoing faculties. Or you might say, by analyzing yourself from mind and matter. Or still further, you might say to rise above body consciousness. And you know, you'll see that very God whom you find is already there. Man body, the wonderful house we live in. We are living in this man body, and we are also controlled in the man body on account of some higher power overhead. Otherwise, we could run away out of this man body. There are so many apertures in this wonderful house we live in, but we are controlled, we cannot go out. Breathing goes out. Some power cannot remain outside. Some power is bringing back into the body. That power which controls us in the body, that very power controls all the universe. That is what is called God power. And by so many names given by various masters, by different names. God wordless or nameless, when it came into being, that was called the name, Shemna, word. That God took his patient power in the cause of all creation. So you reside in this very man body. And also whom you are after, for which purpose you have joined various schools of thought or religions, is also resides within you. Kingdom of God is within you. If you would like to find or enter in there, you have to enter in the laboratory of that body. You may be seeking outside for years and years. You may be observing so many rites and rituals which are performed at the level of the outgoing faculties. You cannot find a clue of that. All Guru Nanak says, so long as you do not know yourself, you are in a grand delusion. It is a pity. We are the indweller of the human body. That very power which we have to find is also already there. A fish living in the water inquires where water is. in the scriptures, you'll find a description of the findings the masters had with their lives when they come in contact with that God power. They're only a description, for by reading which that can clear up and interest you and know him. Have the bodily experiences, what the masters had in their lives, and are recorded in the scripture. There, the scope and what the scriptures say, God is in you. Body is the temple of God. All masters say, in their own words, of course. So, if the God is within you, you must try to find him where he is. Try to find him in the outer things, outer places, kind of things. We have all scriptures, how they give a beautiful fine records of the experiences what the masters had in their life. We have respect for all places, holy worship, for the reason they are made models of the man body. All shaped, all Hindu temples like head of the Hindu body, cross shaped and nose shaped, all churches. Within the symbols representing God, God is light, God is music of his sphere. These are two symbols that denote to show the such-like light of God is shining within you, the such-like music of his sphere, the device of God is reverberating within you. That then you can have contact with those when you rise above senses, above body conscious. It is a matter of practical self-analysis. How to rise above body conscious? You can rise above your own efforts, you are welcome. If not, you can seek the help of somebody who goes up and has the competency to raise your soul, liberate your soul, from the crisis of mind, doubt, and faculty, and is able to give you an experience of opening the inner eye to see the light of God, and opening the inner ears to see his light, calling by any name you like. He's a man like you, walk by outward appearance, but inside he has dwelt that way. He has analyzed his soul, the mind, and all these faculties. He rises above body consciousness daily. That was what it was meant. And what the scriptures say, to learn to die so that he may be in it. That is what is meant by St. Paul saying, I die daily. Well, this is what is meant by to be born anew. This is what is meant when it is said that the kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It is within you. In the outworldly subjects, you do need the help of somebody who is expert in that. All these subjects have to do with your outward faculties. If you need there somebody to guide you, help you, why not in the case when the subject starts? When you rise above body, call out room faculty. It's a matter of common sense. If you can, well and good. The blind man needs two eyes to see. So we need somebody son knows the father or another also will send the being. And that sonship continues. So this is what is before us.